You have to somehow.
I just think like I'm just being honest. Let's be real, right? Give me something different about Midas that you know I can't get out of the Mustard Saver. That's why I'm here, right?
Josh is here for different. We're a variety show for him.
There's actually a fair amount of truth to that.
I was just thinking that.
It's so funny. So I was like, you see the show this week, and he quotes Michel Salanter without saying it's Michel Salanter about being a shabby or Midos. I was like, come on, that's.
They're hurt.
It's probably the Polish Hasidim were afraid of Michel Salanter.
Going on, Michel Salanter. There is, if you were to write a Musar Sefer, like a Midos Sefer, Al Pi Derech Chasidus, it would look very different than it would look in other Tvash Sefer. It would look very different. And by the way, most of the tzaddikim didn't write. They could have written svarim like they wrote. They didn't. They didn't write svarim like that. They wrote. They said Torahs, and it was put into svarim, but they didn't write svarim on these. So, what would be the fundamental difference between? I forget straight to that. No, that's fair.
Bittul.
Yeah.
Top down versus bottom up.
Not necessarily. It has more to do with bittul. It has to do with that there's a certain type of a bittul, a certain type of anava, that in the Derech Chassidus, everything is eyeing that tachlis. Like we say about Har Sinai, let's just put it into perspective, you know, by Ar Zmanim, where we're holding in Yom HaDayim. We're counting spheres now. We're counting midos. And the goal is to come to Shavuos, is to get the Torah. And the Torah, Moshe Kibbutz Torah mi Sinai. Sinai is Gematria Anava. Sinai represents Anava. Moshe is Anava. That type of an Anava, which is represented by Moshe, which is represented by Sinai, is the tachlis of all this work that we're going through right now of this Mida, that Mida. So, the Mashal. In Orach HaTzadikim, right? Nice Chafetz Chaim Sefer. If you're learning Orach HaTzadikim, which many of us have, and it's a fine, fine Sefer, beautiful Sefer, not that he needs my Haskama B'chalal, much, much greater than me and anyone else. I'm only highlighting the fact that the Midah of Anava is listed amongst the other Midas, like Tzazamen, like there's Anava, there's Bittul HaKas, there's Bittul HaKinna. There's all Busha, there's all various types of Midos, and amongst them is the Mid of Anava. That's also true in by the Chassidim, like Anava. But there's a certain type of an Anava where you wouldn't call that even like amongst the Midos. It's higher than a Mida. And the tachlis of all the work which we do with Midos is to come to this Darga of Anava Ilah. Which is this type of an anava, which, unless you're holding there, you can't even understand what it is. Even great people like Miriam and Aaron didn't understand the anava of Moshe. Because from the Torah, you don't see anything that they're complaining about Moshe's anava. It seems like it has to do with the fact that Moshe was purished from Tzipora, and Miriam and Aaron weren't happy about that. Comes along a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, be careful how you talk about Moshe. Moshe is an anav mikol adam. Didn't seem like it was part of the conversation. So even though Moshe, Miriam, and Aaron were from the greatest anavim who ever lived, they didn't understand that there's anava and there's anava, and the anava that Moshe Rabbeinu was holding at was a totally different category. It's higher than the whole realm of Midas Bechlal, and the tachlis of all of Avodas HaMidas is to come to this madrega, which is called the Mid of Moshe. That there's only one Midah. And that's the Midah that there is no Midos. And just B'derech Remez, and so you have 49 days of Omer, where each day of the Omer is a Sphira, which each day is a Midah. Midah is Gematria 49, because the entirety of the Midos is 49. When you're Nichlal, Zeb, so... However, even though the Torah says Tisbir Chamishim Yayim, Kamalan Chazal Torah Shabbat Pen, he says you can't count such a day. Because even though the 50th level is also a midah. The Torah says, Tetzbrich HaMishim Yayim. That midah is uncountable. It's like the koilul of 49. You know, we talk about koilul in Gematria. We use that rule very loosely. That's because when you come to 49, the koilul of 49 is 50. It's not the pshat that it's the 50th day. It's the koilul of 49. I mean, it's koilul all the midahs together. For that reason, it's called a midah. But if you want to know bifrat, you can't count it as a midah bifrat. That type of an anava can't be counted as a midah bifrat. If you were going to count anava as a midah bifrat, in the realm of spheres, you would point and say, I forget who brought it up last week, that's the midah of hoyd. Hoyd is the midah of anava. Which is why when you come to the week of hoyd, that sphere called hoyd, right? That's, you begin with chesed shebahoyd, which is Pesach Sheni. And then you come and you have Rajbi, which is hoyd shebahoyd, right? Like the Zohar says, that tarim psuchin, during the week of hoyd, all the gates are open during that week. Because it's true. What does that? It's not that Rabbi Shimon does that. It's not Rabbi Meir does that or Pesach Sheni does that. It's this or of Shavuos which is present during the week of Hod. But because there's a pnimius of the Midah of Anava, which is like the Shpitz Anava, which is really what Shavuos is, that's why on Hod Shabahod, which is the day of Rajbi, that's the Yontif like Shavuos. Which is why on Shavuos, Moshe gave us the Torah, gave us the Nicholas of Torah, and on Lag BaOmer Rashbi gave us Pnimius of Torah. When he died, on that day, he gave us over the Torah Sasayit. Because the key to reveal Torah, Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitze, is Tali in this Nida of Hoyd, which is what Rashbi touched, which is what the Or L'Baal Shem Tov, and especially, is to bring that into the world, the Hainu, that there's an avoid of midos and shviras of midos and working on oneself, but for this tachlis, which is called Shavuos, which is the anav of Maisha, which is koilul al midos. So therefore, whenever the Sfar Makdoshim, the Hainu, like the Talmidei HaBaal Shem, when they talk about anava, they're usually talking about this type of an anava. Whereas in the Or HaTzaddikim, when he's talking about anava, he's talking about the mid of anava, which is the code, where how it blends with the other midos. But the tachlis of all midas and shviras midas is to come to this midah, which is like kemat not a midah. It's a midah she'ein a midah, which is why the Torah says tisbruch hamishimem, because it's a midah, but you can't count it because it's ein a midah. It's the place of where all the midas are coming to. So, listen to the words of the Rav Shitzer. Also, many times, and this is something which, before we get to the Rav Shitzer, this is something to think about and needs to be discussed and understood. When we talk about the avoid of Tikkun HaMidos, so we spoke already last week to dispel this concept that people have that Tikkun HaMidos means like working on being a nice guy. Working on being a nice guy. So that's not Tikkun HaMidos. That's called Tikkun of Derech Eretz. Okay. It's a Tikkun of Derech Eretz. The Avoda of Tikkun HaMidos is something which takes place. We may have discussed this last week, began to discuss it, before it happens, while it happens, and after it happens. The easiest thing to discuss at first is b'shas ma'isa. Somebody does something to you which rubs you the wrong way. So there's an avoida right now, which is called tikkun hamidos. I have to be b'al midos. Catch yourself. How are you going to respond right now? Right? What do you do in that moment? How does a person know, based on his response, whether or not he's really being an Evan Hashem, he's being Oivin in the Indian of Midos, in a very rich way, in a very pianistic way, or he's really fooling himself into thinking he's working on his Midos, but he's just not exactly there. Anybody wanna? Somebody does something which it really blows my top, and I really want to get angry. So what do you, what's the avoid the midas in the moment? Go ahead.
You're in control and not your emotions, not your anger.
Okay. So if you let your anger, if you let your anger go first, right? So then,
let's say something you'll regret.
You broke your midos, right? It broke you.
Even if you have anger, you're out.
Okay.
Acceptance.
Okay. So a person has a certain threshold as to a point. Everybody has a gvul as to where. Let's say we're talking about kas right now. Let's focus on. Let's just use kas as an example. Every single person has a mida. A mida means a measurement as to how much he's able to take in of this. Right? So a person has, let's say, 10. The number is 10. And this guy comes along and he gets me angry in a way of 8. So I'm able to control myself. And I'm not going to blow the fuse. I'm going to stay calm. And I'm not going to let it rip. Because I have 10. And he has 8. What happens many times is that we're carrying 8 now. And we come home, and then this kid does that, or the Robinson does that, and then we blow the top because we were already at 8, and now all I needed was just 3 more to push me over, and then boom, I explode, and I'm letting it out on everybody else because I came home with 8. All I needed was just a little bit more to put me over the edge. Then what did I do? How come you got so upset at me? Right? Here it is because we have a certain gvul every single day. And many times we carry over from yesterday's if it's something which really bothers us, in which case we're walking around with 5 all the time. And something goes wrong at work, so we're already at 6 and nothing to do with anybody else, but I'm just frustrated because there's the individual kelis, which every single mida has, and then everything is just put in a pot because we're all echad. And so even if I may have a certain jealousy, which may be up to 10, so because the jealousy makes me angry, so I already am going around with 2 in my kas. So every day I'm behind. So I'm at 8, and then somebody's going to send me to 12. If I hit that number, then I'm going to explode. Then what happens is, what that's called is the keli is broken. You broke the keli. That's called shvira sakela. Shvira sakela, not in Kabbalah, but how it translates into the inyan of midos, is if the keli is not able to accept that which is coming in, so that's called the shvira sakela. And the keli is supposed to cover. Part of the purpose of a keli is to contain, is to conceal, is to protect. But when the keli breaks, so then all of this anger, which the keli is supposed to contain so that nobody sees it, nobody has to be vulnerable to my experiences, my feelings, that breaks, then it just, everybody has to suffer now, to experience my kas, because I don't have the kelim anymore to protect it, to be koila. That's called shviras hakelim. And everybody has, in every single mida, a certain amount of stuff, of mida that he's able to hold. So avoidas hamidos, tikkun hamidos, would mean, therefore, expanding the kelim. She'll say something which is already very much deeper, and that is that, let's say, that a person doesn't experience, let's say, kas anymore. In which case, it's not about having midos or kelim for anything, because if what happens is that a person can have such a filter. Let's say there's many ways to deal with kas. The highest way to deal with kas is to believe gamzu l'tayva komandu rachmanu l'tavet. So therefore, everything which comes in, I'm not going to get angry because I feel like this is not what I had planned. It's out of my control, right? I realize I'm not the boss. Hashem is the boss, and everything he does was good. As long as I concede to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he's the boss and not me, and everything he does is for the good, so then I don't have to worry so much about kelim. Because what happens is that everything which comes into the kelim, which is the midos, have to first come through the meichin. The meichin is the filters for the midos. We expand the midos or we contract the midos based on our meichin. Because it's the meichin, chachma, bina, and das, which will determine the size of the kelim and the quality of the kelim. So if a person has a very strong filter, that everything which goes on in his life, immediately as he processes it, it triggers Koman Rahman al Tav Gamaz al Taiva, and he really believes and understands that well. Then when it comes into the midos, so then he doesn't necessarily have to work so hard on making big kalim, because even if something, let's say, trickles in and it's something which he's upset about, even if his keli is a 4, he makes sure because of his meichin that he only keeps whatever comes in as a 1. So there's very little which is going to get him upset, because everything which is coming in through his life is being filtered so that he can't get upset. So what we see here is two things. Aleph is that there's an avoida in midos which is to expand the kelim, and there's an avoida in midos which begins with the meichen. Really, it's very hard to work on midos themselves, because what gives you the tools to work on kelim? Like, I just went to tevel some things and I came home, and I brought them, and now they're going to be used for Shabbos. If I had to fix the kelim, I wouldn't be able to do that. I don't have the meichen to fix kelim. You need meichen to fix kelim. You have to be trained to know how to fix a keli. So what we see when it comes to midos, that when it comes to the expansion or the retention of the kelim, so a very big avoid in that is the inyan of the meichen. How are we doing, guys? Yeah? Is this registering?
Building the kelim.
Building the kelim? Building the meichen.
Isn't there a positive aspect to breaking the kelim also?
Huh?
Isn't there a positive aspect?
Yes, yes. Yeah, we're going to get to that in Mitzvah Shem. That's a very important point. There's the tikkun hakelim, and then there's the shviras hakelim. We only spoke so far about shviras hakelim, the negative. The hainu, that if a person lets in too much stuff, then it breaks the keli, so we understand shviras hakelim is a negative. Now, so, everybody has to suffer because my kelim broke. But yes, there's an avodah called tikkun shviras hakelim, because b'riyas ha'olam came from positive shviras hakelim.
So what you're saying is that the keli is the ability for us to get upset, angry, and we have to work on breaking that where there's no more keli for us to even get upset?
The keli is the capacity to deal
to
with challenges.
Right.
And
as much as you have.
And the mochin is the filter that allows you to figure out what is a challenge. So when right. something happens, everything in the world is neutral. Let's assume everything in the world is neutral. When you experience something, you're determining if it's positive or negative.
Correct.
The level of negativity is going to go into your kelim, and if your negativity that you let in is beyond what your capacity is to hold negativity, then you react inappropriately. So there's two pieces here we're talking about. One is...
So we're building up that kelim.
We have to, one, expand the ability to contain negative.
You're building up your meichen.
No, that's the midos.
That's the, yeah.
And then the I think, which is...
You have to have both.
You have to... I don't know how you even have the second one.
I'm build a filter, and it's a one-stop.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how you build...
I said before, the idea of...
Just a filter you have to build.
You don't have to have such a huge keli, right, to hold all right. the negative stuff if...
If you shut the border down and don't let anyone into your country, you don't got to worry about who comes into your country.
If the way you're dealing with it, exactly, if the way you're dealing with it is when you have to think about, when you get angry about something and you have to count to 10 or you have to do any of those things to help you deal with your anger, it's already too late. You're already angry. You're already reacting.
So I think that's what, I think I'm coming in from a different angle where it's like we're breaking our ability to even get angry.
So right, so that's reacting to something. You're reacting to the fact that you are angry. What you're trying to get to is the point of
not even reacting.
It doesn't affect you to get angry.
Right. So I think that the way to get to that is to understand right. is sometimes to take those. Your to take yourself out of that equation when you're dealing with somebody.
Psychologically, same. But that the idea is that you have to first work on the mochin.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the question.
But I think that comes from taking yourself and making yourself nothing.
Bittle.
Right. Oh, yeah.
The way I see it, sure. the mochin is, as you're saying, is the bittle or emuna or a combination, right? Whereas with the kelim is a whole different avodah. That's in the ani. That's in me, my capacity to hold it. They're two completely different avodahs.
But they affect
each other, obviously.
I think when you take away your unneed, that's what
bittul is. We're talking about chassidus versus...
I think that's why I understand the way
that's
what I'm holding
saying.
Now.
That's
right. That's why I understand.
That's probably why you're saying it.
Sure. So your meichen,
we all get we get an hour to pretend.
You have the points of meichen nekadus, meichen nekadus, and you have points where that expansion will allow you to be able, like Charlie said, to close the borders down, essentially, without realizing, because you're in an elevated place.
Okay.
Is it even closing down the borders? It's just filtering, so that the hosha, it doesn't come in as hosha, it comes in as or.
Well,
right. That's if you're in a state of meichen the godless,
right.
Then that would be the case. Not always are we in a state of meichen the godless. So a person has to know how to react. Meaning, sometimes you push the emergency button. In which case,
right.
If you do that,
but
which
that
is
in and of itself is a reaction.
Okay, and if it's not always are we in a state of meichen the godless that we can respond to situations in an elevated way. especially when we're caught in the moment, caught by surprise. So if we're caught by surprise and we're already in somewhat of a vulnerable state, and we're in a state of Moichin Dekatnas, so then we have to know how to be a Baal Midos in those moments. Meaning, in a state of Moichin Dekatnas, a person can use his Moichin and he can act in a higher way. In when he's in a state of Moichin Dekatnas, where his Moichin aren't so strong, so then he's going to have to really flex his Midos at that time, because he can't rely on his Moichin to filter it properly to act in an elevated way. He's going to have to man up and be strong and hold tight and make sure that those kelim don't break. So what we find al pi Kabbalah, even during these weeks of spheres, these days of sphera, is that there's a two-part avoida. There's the avoida which we see in the Siddur, which is working on chesed and gevurah, tiferet, netzachot, yesod, and malchus, which is an avoida in midos. But in Kabbalah, there's an inyan of hamshachas hamaychin. And the question in the Mekubalim is, how do these two things come together? Like, we're bringing down Meichin during these days. There's Katnas HaMeichin, Gadlas HaMeichin, there's in Chachman, there's in Bina, every single sphere has another Mayach, it's another Mida. So are these two things, is there interplay between these two, or is there not? Are they considered to be separate? These are all Shalas and Avodas Hashem, not just Chakiras and Kabbalah and lofty things.
I mean, a lot of these ideas, for me when I was younger, I never even understood what those things are, like a much higher level than for a simple person down here. So there must be like another way of understanding on a simple level, not like the high, these seven like mystical midas. So that
that's what we're talking about. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about chesed as being the midah of kindness and ava, gevurah as the midah of yira, and tferes as being the midah of noy. And we're not going to talk like that. I'm just saying that I just brought that as an example to show that although when we talk about the avoid of midas, we isolate it and we think about having to be a good guy. Whereas if we go higher, we come to a certain hakara that if you're going to just look at midas as an avoid in midas, then it's going to be like a lower way. A higher way is to recognize everything at its shayrish. Pnimius always means look at it from the shayrish. Since the shayrish of the midos are the meichin, which are also called spheros, but they're the higher ones, Chacham, Bin, and Das, and Keser. So, if we realize that the avod and midos begins with meichin, so then we've added a new dimension to, I think today, I think that this is a chiddush already. That before we sat down, we came in thinking that we're going to talk about tikkun hamidos as an inyan of chesed, gevurah, tiferes, netzachot, yesod, malchus, from which in there is the totality of all the midos. We sat down today and we said, no, there's something which is called Meichin. And we proved that the Meichin has an influence on the Midos. So in which case, I could do avoida on Midos by working on Meichin. Now the question is, and I don't mean learning Shas, I mean like Meichin. Like the fact that when something happens in my life, I process that as Kol Man Avrachman Latav of it, that's a Mayach, that's a Havana, which will influence how I'm going to act every single moment in my life. So that's why this was a very big shaila when it came to the Derech of Moser and the Derech of the Sfarim HaKdoshim, which were built on Pnimius HaTorah. Where do you put your Iker and where do you put your Tafa? Do you put your Iker in Tikkun HaMidos Dehainu, in the actual Tikkun HaMidos itself, that a person will say, he'll spend 30 minutes thinking to himself, I'm going to come home and I know I'm going to come home to my family and my children are going to be hungry, they're going to have homework to do, and my wife's going to want to talk about this and this and this, which happened today, and all of her frustrations. I'm going to be thinking about right now how I'm not going to lose it. I'm going to stay calm, I'm going to put on a happy face, I'm going to smile, and I'm going to be great energy into the home, right? And you're going to contemplate that for 10, 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour, right? Usually it gets to a point where when you do that for a couple minutes, you can't do it anymore. It's worthless. It's pointless, and it doesn't do anything more. You're just like, when is this going to get over already? How long do I have to think about this? What happens is that it's not something which is contemplation. It's something which a person has koined with regilus. It's midos are koined with regilus. Meichen are not, you're not koined meichen with regilus.
I think in that situation, you're not actually solving the problem.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. This is more of a chitzonius way to deal with it. Perhaps a higher way to deal with it is that when a person involves himself in sugyas and learning the depths of emuna and bitachon and what meichin really is, In the Svarim HaKdoshim, you know, we talk in Kabbalah, we call it, let's say, Meichin of Chachma and Meichin of Bina. And a person goes whole life learning Kabbalah, talking about Chachma and Bina, and he's learning about how they come into the Zerampin, into the Nukva, and you can hold a whole Kabbalah based on these terminologies. However, in the Svarim HaKdoshim, they give us translations of how these, the interpretation of what that means in terms of Midas and real life stuff. What, Menachem? Chachma, the Meichin of Chachma are called Meichin of Bitachon, and the Meichin of Bina of Ima are called Meichin of Tshuva. These are two totally different things. There's Meichin of Tshuva and there's Meichin of Bitachon. But the Svarim HaKdoshim they're talking about sounds like very lofty things which don't pertain to me, but they do. Bitachon is a huge Mayach. It's a totally different way of looking at life. Having a perspective of Tshuva, that things happen in my life and that's supposed to bring me to do Tshuva, that's a totally different way of looking at life. If I respond to situations by prepping myself with bitachon or looking at life situations as tools which Hashem uses to bring me to do tshuva, then a person has a totally different perspective on life and the relevance that midas has in my life because of that perspective is completely different. For example, a person comes home and he walks through the door and boom, he gets slammed with this and with that. If he realizes that the tachlis, if he thinks that his tachlis in this life is to just be a big Talmud Chacham, or a chfes, whatever he thinks that else it is, to make a lot of money, and then this happens, what is this happening to me? This is what's supposed to happen to me? I'm a very big CEO. I know Shas and Poskim. You know how many Shalas Chamoras I dealt with before I came home today? And I have to come home and talk about like how I came home and like the table was overflowing and like how come we didn't take out the garbage last night? This is what I have to deal with. But if a person realizes that no, that Bina is the tshuva, that's real Meichin, a person has to do tshuva. So one person will look at that and he'll say to Bashan, why do I need this? Another person will say, oh, I see you trying to bring me to tshuva. I see that I have things that I need to do tshuva on. And he'll thank the Rabbanu Shalom that he has these reminders and very sweet reminders which make his life a little bit more difficult because he knows that Hashem wants to, where's your tshuva? Where's your bitachon in me? So one person may be very upset about these things, and another person may thank Hashem for these things. The Meichin are greatly influencing how much of a Baal Midas he needs to be in that moment. So we talk about Tikkun HaMidas, and what Ben was alluding to before is that there's something which is called Shviras HaMidas, which is in the positive as well. But let's open up a discussion because I see the wheels turning about this comment. Then we'll get to Shriya Samidas and positive a little bit after.
Which one is a higher thing, the going through Bitachon or through Tshuva?
Well, Bitachon is considered to be Meichin de Chachma, and Tshuva is considered Meichin de Bina.
I think you need both. It's the same discussion, maybe as like taking away your bad Meisim. Also adding good ma'asim. It's you need both, I would think.
You say sumer and ase tov type of a thing? Well, it depends how you touch the word, how you touch tshuva.
In simpler terms, yeah.
Depends how you touch tshuva, depends how you touch bitachon. Generally speaking, chachma is higher than ima, but there's a place within ima which is considered to be higher than it. It's complicated, but they're both very good.
I think it's easier if on the bittul side.
Bittul is considered to be high, that's called keser. Keser is, there's bitachon and then there's tshuva, and really you can say that the tachlis of bitachon and tshuva is to come to the place of bittul. And that's the midah we talked about before, which is keser, which is chamishim, which is moisha, which is the novel, which is sinai, which is considered to be a midah shein a midah.
Right. You know, it seems like that's the only midah to work on, though. Bittul, which is if you don't have bittul, you're still always in a world where you're operating from a different place.
How do you come to bittul without bitachon or tshuva to begin with?
No, meaning you're never going to get to Bittul unless you go to Bittul.
That is the end game.
No, but you're never going to get there. It's like saying, like, you never get to Bittul unless you start at Bittul. Because the whole concept of Bittul is so beyond what is normally humanly possible. If you're not going to break your head against Bittul, it's like saying, like, to the kids, like, why do you learn Gemara when you're younger? Let's just start with, like, you know, and then, like, when you get to be, like, 50 years old, and, like, you finally graduated every single sefer when you know everything by. So that's could be a mahalach, but a mahalach is you're never going to ever get there based on life until you start there. And then you start there and you go, oh, it's impossible. I got to work on this piece and that piece. And I got to work on this supporting element and that supporting foundational rock. Like, but if you don't have, if there's no There's no work in Bittul. I don't know how you accomplish any of this stuff.
Like, Bittul is a so you're saying cloud. You strive for the best, but you realize you're not there, then you have to start a different route to get there.
So you have to understand what you're even working towards.
Right, but you have to take steps. Yeah, you have to take steps. I'm saying, but like...
But Bittul is and isn't a meetup. Kasser is and isn't. It's all encompassing, but it's also it's a prat in its own. So the question is there a void in Bittul?
And how do we do that? Master all the rest.
Meaning you can't get to Bittul without mastering
the
rest.
Why not only go to that, straight to that?
You can't get to Bittul without mastering the rest, to some extent. But you're never going to get to Bittul if you master the rest.
Why?
Because good's always the enemy of great.
He's saying, no, I hear what you're saying, but that, I think that I don't know if that's true.
And to go for the goal, meaning you're always fighting Kass, you're going to fight Kass your entire life.
Right.
Unless you go to Bittul.
Right. But if you elevate
without
yourself.
Without Bittul, you're never going
to
win Kass.
To get to that Mandrega, which is the highest Mandrega, essentially what Rebbe was saying is that where you're holding by a place where the Kass not necessarily will even get to stare you, the only way you do that is you build up your Muna B'tochen and then you have the ability to have Tshuva. Those are the building blocks to get.
I'm saying, without that foundation,
never going to be.
You're saying Bittul is a start and an end.
Yeah, you stay with Bittul and you go Bittul. I don't even believe in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, I got to work on Bittachon, but I'm working on Bittachon for Bittul.
Wait,
Bittul, Kodesh Baruch Hu. I still have a cheeseburger in my hand. You got to go through your whole life, but at the end of the day, it's just all one returning to Bittul. It's every the midos are supporting. The
shorish.
But if you don't start in that shorish, you're never going to hit the shorish. Because people will say, I did tshuva. You can have someone that did tshuva. Elul, Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Gnikshain. I'm done. Tshuva. But there's no Bittul. They win, let's assume.
What was the tshuva?
I'm saying
something. The tshuva goes back.
Forget the Eibishter.
The tshuva is going back to
forget copy the Eibishter.
The tshuva is going back. I did this wrong. I'm going to repeat and fix this up. It's not the smallest.
Why are you fixing it up?
I'm saying forget the Eibishter.
Because I believe that. Wait, tshuva. But I don't necessarily realize the bigger picture.
But then your whole life's going to be fixing things up.
That's exactly the point.
You're dealing with the issue. The issue is that it's a yesh.
Yeah, but we had this whole conversation with David Yosef. You need to be a Yosef in order to get that David. There has to be a starting point. It's not just, I can't start in David.
You got to start with the goal
of
mine.
The goal of David.
No, you have
to. But the avoda is...
Not to continue doing this, but I guess I will. When you sit in peewee baseball and they teach you how to swing, are you going to swing the way you'd swing if you were a major league player? No, but you don't learn. At some point, you got to pick up the bat and practice.
So are you skipping runs on the ladder?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how
you're not
going to
hit
a 90
mile an hour pitch in peewee.
I don't know how you do any of this if you're always. I'm not saying I'm doing this. I'm thinking about it now for the first time. In hearing this for the first time, I don't know how we can accomplish any of this if we're not only saying Bittul. Now, we'll say, Bittul, it's impossible. I'm missing 40 elements underneath. That's a fair assessment. But it's only Almanas to get to Bittul. That you can't ever not... If the goal is tshuva, months of Yom Kippur, you're out. And people are like that, myself included. You're like, no, please Hashem, you know, and then after Neil, you're like, oh, fine, it's over. I got a year. I get to eat whatever I want in Sukkot. By the time October comes, I'm back doing whatever I'm doing, and then I don't got to worry about this till Elul. Like that's what people. I think this way. So that means that my goal in my own little mind, forget the Eibishter, my goal is tshuva, and I check the tshuva box to some extent, even though I really didn't, but I think I did. Right? Then there's another box called Bitachon, which is a whole new box. But there's no box called Bittul. Have you ever heard Bittul? There's no box called Bittul. Bittul's against everything we believe in. This whole world is about yesh. The only way you hear Bittul is in Svarim. So if you don't start your morning and go to bed at night and go Bittul, you're never getting to Bittul.
But that's what we do.
You're also saying that
those Modani.
Okay,
I'm saying the only reason why I'm working on Bittul is because I want to get to Bittul.
And the only reason I'm working on Chesed is I want to get the Bittul. Because if I don't get the Bittul, I'm never going to make it. It's going to be expansionically, contractionically. Good day, bad day.
No,
I'm saying the only way...
In B'tachon and Tshuva, right, if you perfect those, or so to say you elevate yourself with this, you're going to be in an element of Bittul. And the objective is to get the Mochen, get above
but
those.
You may not be in the element of Bittul, is what I'm saying.
Depends if your goal is bittul. When you're working on your tshuva, you'll lose sight of the bittul.
You're not going to have
your
tshuva.
As soon as you get stuck on tshuva.
I see tshuva.
Okay. It doesn't matter how big the kli is, it's going to break.
And if you don't have the kli, you just become like a sieve and everything goes through you.
That's because you're under the emuna and bittul.
There's nothing to break.
All under the encompasses of bittul. Be'emes, in other words, if I'm a real Baal Maimon, Baal Bittachin, be'emes, I'm a vatel myself to the running show.
She was saying, I'm ready, I'm starting with this
premise. Essentially, there, but that's because you had the right perspective. Yeah. Very often,
how many times I speak for this chabur, right. How many times have you heard the word bittul in your life?
My wife says it to me all the time.
I'm not a camper.
We have that recorded, we're sending it on.
No,
how many times have you heard bittul? You know what you have it. You know why? Because it doesn't make it. If you don't say bittul 100 times a day, but you're coming from a Torah life. You live in a Torah world. You're surrounded by Torah. You don't come off the boat. You're sitting in a Torah lifestyle with davening and learning and frumkite and kids in yeshiva and alamises. You still don't hear the word bittul 100 times? How in the world are we ever going to hear bittul? Where are you going to hear it from? We're going to move to Barber. Like, where are we going to hear bittul from if we don't have...
But you also can't have bittul without a move. Without being a
I hear tshuva all week. I hear tshuva all year. I go to tshuva sessions. I hear chesed. I hear about bittachon.
So this
do you ever hear bittul?
Charlie, this just proves it. You need to be working on the fundamentals, the basics, and
yeah,
learn to
be no, that's not what I'm
and
saying.
Now at a certain
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, listen, we're living in a world today.
But you're right.
Where
tshuva
makes sense, where bittachon somewhat makes sense, where bittul does not make sense.
But this is why. That's what I'm telling you. It doesn't start at bittul. Yes, that's the end.
Okay, in that case, we should be looking at people going, it doesn't start at poskim. Do you understand that there are poskim? It doesn't start at the Zohar, but there is a Zohar.
Right.
Where's bittul?
Right?
How many times have you heard
now.
It?
Essentially,
when did it show up?
Now, because now we're ready for it.
No, now isn't ready for it. Now we're bringing it up for the first time. You're not ready for it. The only reason you're hearing it is because you're hearing it.
That's
skipping
steps.
I'm not skipping steps.
I'm not skipping steps. You're saying do tshuva without... You're like in the analogy of Mochan Ima and Dina. You're doing tshuva without doing any what's called taking a
kelim.
You're saying I never have to...
Let the client... Let the coin take the mic.
Let me say it differently. For you to attain any step, you need to be mavater yourself. In other words, you have to be able to...
So you're saying you need that to be the premise before all of
in order, right. You might not realize,
has to be
you might not realize that you're doing it, but in order for you to get any step, there's a certain level of bittul you must do.
Correct. Let me give you an example. You're sitting at Yom Kippur, okay?
Otherwise,
Your goal is tshuva. Okay?
I have to do tshuva.
The guy's next to you, dominating the exact heart, but his goal is bittul. You're both doing the same thing. He's not doing anything different. You just have two different goals. Goal number one is tshuva. You say, one day I'll get to bittul. Okay. Yeah. So today, and the guy finishes tshuva, and he walks out and goes, I'm about tshuva. I did it.
One of the things we don't have to talk about.
Other guy walks out and says, you understand? You walk out of tshuva, and you feel like, I did tshuva. To a guy who's working on bittul, is like, you just said you did tshuva? Did you just say the word I? You did nothing. This guy's sitting coming out, and he's working on bittul, and he walks out. Did davening the exact same. I'm not telling you the bittul guy's skipping. The bittul guy's not sleeping going, I'm mevatel myself to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so I'm sleeping this one in. He's working just as hard. The only difference is, this guy's thinking, I'm not looking for tshuva. I'm looking for bittul.
Figured out where I'm
maybe it's like the starting point.
I figured out where I'm going to come. I agree with you on the premise.
I'm a
Baal
Bittul.
Even though
like, I'm not there yet.
Yeah, but they're anywhere.
The
Etzem. It's my life.
I got
80 more years. I get 80 more years, or whatever it is. Bittul. If you don't say it to yourself 100 times, it's never coming in. Who's telling you this? Who's bringing it? It has to
be. There's no goal. It's not a
real
situation.
We're brought up in the same thing
as
Midos.
Exactly.
Correct that mida. There's a tikkun of midos, and if you're able to do this, then you're doing tshuva on that mida, which essentially could be putting a band-aid on it. Generally, right speaking, and when my feathers are ruffled, I'm going to collapse. This is now taking the light, and we're not looking at the actual mida, but expanding that and saying it's no longer just focusing on that specific thing. It's a greater perspective of bittul, which means that everything I'm doing is to get to that point. When I come home. And I have a different perspective of life. I'm not going to allow this to now stare me because everything that's going around me is part and parcel of my bigger plan. I'm not focused on the nuances of just trying to get over this one, getting over that one.
I think if you look at it from a Sfiras Omer perspective, the Bittul aspect is from day one, I'm just looking at 50, I'm looking at Har Sinai, I'm getting to that point. And the guy who's counting Sfira, he's counting, okay, Teis Chesed, Rich Chesed, and he's losing focus on the Har Sinai part. He's too wrapped up in the deep...
You have to have the day,
But if you don't have the goal of Har Sinai, you get wrapped up in the day-to-day. Yeah.
Rishua told a story once that it was so simple, but I never forget. He says that there's a big Rav in Eretz Yisrael, a Rebbe, that was sitting by the Kaisel, and he was davening. He's a big Rebbe, or he was a Rebbe. And a guy came by giving out dollars by the Kaisel. So he puts out his hand. So the Chassidim are like, hey, what are you doing? Like, you know, saying you're a rabbi. Like, you know, you don't got to put your hand. You have people do that for you. Yeah, so he says,
somebody who had money.
So he says, the rabbi said, he couldn't pass up on the bizyonis. I just couldn't pass up on the bizyonis. That's what he said. Now, if you hear that from the perspective of tshuva, you're like, what in the world are you talking about? You heard that from the second bitachon, you're like, what in the world are you talking about? Chesed, gvur, teferis, like, you hear that from the world of bittul, and you're going, achap. He was saying, I have an opportunity to mevatel myself and my whatever COVID comes. So now take that to the guy's house. The guy sits in his car and goes, no cost, no cost. My wife, she's important to me, my kids. Remember, remember, no cost, no cost, no cost. Comes home, the kid's like, da 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 da. And the guy's a yesh. So he's thinking, yeah, are you out of your mind? I'm talking. See, hold, what are you holding? But then the guy says, not bittul. And all of a sudden the kid spills all over him. And he goes, only if he's thinking this, even though he's not there. He's still at a zero, but at least someone put in his head bittul. And now he just hops the first time that the thing that happened that was wrong isn't like he has to overcome it. It could be that that thing is actually a gift for bittul. But he never would have known that unless he identified bittul as a value. Because bittul's not a value until you make it a value. Especially no one would ever think that a rav would say, give me bizyonis. Who would ever want bizyonis? Okay, if you have to deal with bizyonis, you got to say to yourself, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and Gamzu L'Toyva, and I'll add it to the bank account later on, I'll get it when Yom Kippur comes. But when do you ever get to a place where someone says, ah, bizyonis? We should never know bizyonis. None of us should know bizyonis. Hashem should give us shalva, sheket, and only bracha. Parnasa b'shefa.
Amen.
But at the end of the day, until you walk around, until you walk around and someone says, there's a mida of value called bittul, you know, would ever in a million years say, ah, here's a negative thing. Well, I think it's negative. I can now take this thing and use it for positive, because there's a mida out there called bittul, which I'm not shaykh to, but maybe in this house, forget the cos barometer, maybe I can just for a second in front of my kids take the bittul and just get one step in the bittul category. That could never happen unless you wake up and say, I have zero bittul ability, but I want bittul. That's not
sense. But there's real bitachon, there's real understanding of bitachon.
It's not bitachon.
When you get to the real essence of bitachon,
it's not bitachon. It's bittul.
But if the only thing that I can rely on, the only thing that is bitachon really means that the only thing I can possibly rely on is Hashem, right? May I in Yahweh Ezra, I have nothing, right? That is bittul. So real definition of bitachon means bittul. So
no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. The words you said. I have nothing. The world of bittul.
There is nothing. Yeah, there is nothing.
I have nothing. Right? The world of bittul. There is no I.
You're right.
He's the only one who gets to hear the Meisel.
I don't want bizyonis. Don't you think that I'm
bizyonis? There's the fundamental, the baseline, which we need to start at, which is what Charlie's getting at, right? But which is where I am.
That's
if
called
I can hod. Start there, right?
The mid of bittul is called hod.
Right.
The meichen of bittul is called kaser.
Okay, so we need both elements of that. The question is now, where do we start?
Yeah.
Now, Charlie's no, because you can have the mida. Are you saying start with the mida? Are you saying start with the mochen?
The mochen.
Okay, that's
what I'm just suggesting. Until it goes here and you think about it, we should never know bizyonis. Until it goes here and you think about it,
so that's the question.
You're never going to be able to process it. You're not going to. So your brain won't even identify it. You won't identify it. It's like when you get now we have a little world of entrepreneurs. 50 years ago, if there was a problem, everyone fetched. Now one guy started making companies from problems, and now kids in high colleges are looking for problems all day. Where did this come from? You're looking for ways that you can get to the recruiting agency. People now trying to change the departments and you know where it came from? Because a couple of years ago, a bunch of kids dropped out of college and fixed problems. But now their brains are thinking, problems can be companies. So now someone introduced into the world this concept that problem really could be my business. So now I've looked at things now. The entrepreneurial world handed something to the Welt called problems can be make you rich. So now every single guy's got, I got an idea. When you can't find a cab on a Tuesday afternoon, I'm going to make an app. Where do you come to me? Because this became like a, so same thing with Bittl. Until someone says, Bittl means taking your yesh and trying, or whatever we can get to what Bittl is, we won't know to look for it because it's so counterintuitive to a human being. It's not, we never heard it before. It doesn't make sense to us. We're bodies. We live in a material world. We live in a world of yeshes that our grandparents didn't even know existed before. We live in a world of such yesh that until somebody wakes up in the morning and says, Bittl, 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 they'll never even have their minds focused on Bittl. So they'll get to tshuva and go, well, I think I'm Mamish, I'm the Reb Tshuva. Because you know what? I held a concentration for 6 minutes in the Ela. That gives me permission to watch Netflix tonight. Like, yesh, I did tshuva, yesh. Or I'm Bobby Tachan because I didn't yell at my wife. Because to the top. That's all I'm suggesting. And if that's not our goal...
So I'm so excited to have the shoe on Carl's hammer right now.
That's my pitch, and now he could correct me. My part is complete.
You could sell that online. That last bit. No, this is the part. Leave my wife out.
What?
How do you feel?
Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Before the concept of cost. This being a lens through which I'm looking at things, and I got to get rid of that. Right? So it's really, it's a surface level thing, which obviously it's great to get rid of that cost. But what was just mentioned before about the bizayon, right? Like that bizayon could cause the anger, right? So beneath that anger, there's this mita of gaiva that I have about myself. So taking the cost and getting rid of that, that's obviously a difficult, could be difficult for some. But taking it to that next level of what is being affected, right? That cost could come out because of gaiva. It could come out because of fear about money, right? It could be any of these things. So to me, the way that I've thought about it is to me, the cost, I know I need to, it's not a proper way to be behaving, right? But it's the underlying thing that's being affected, which is the mita that needs more examination. Right, and then when I can look at that, and I can see how it has disturbed my relationships, either with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, or with other people, right, then it gives me the opportunity to do tshuva to those people, right? Mm-hmm. It's a multi-step process where at the end, when I can see that, and that's what needs to be fixed within me, mm-hmm. then it allows me to connect better than Kodesh Baruch Hu, better uh-huh. connect with other human beings, mm-hmm. right? And I get to that place of bitachon where I can see that all this is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, mm-hmm. right? And that's the challenge that he's placed within me that I need to overcome so that I don't exhibit any of these other behaviors, you know, the anger being a very outward one, but it's really that stuff that underlies it that needs all that tikkun.
For sure. No, it's a very deep avodah. It's a very deep avodah, and everybody's going to have, you know, their inyanim, where they looking deep within themselves to find out, you know, what's an ikkar and what's a tafel, where the real work needs to be. You said something which just triggered a thought, which I'm going to put on the table, and I want to just maybe a couple points, and then we're going to call it a day. The avodah begins really with the sphere of Tiferes. Tiferes, and we'll just talk about the spheres for a second in their names, that Tiferes is in the center of all the Midos, and it's considered to be the heart of all the Midos, and the beginning of the Avodas Midos is Tiferes, and one of the reasons why that is because Tiferes is synonymous with Emes. Yaakov is Tiferes and Titin Emes Yaakov. And the reason why Emes is so important, it's considered to be the Yesod of all the Midas, is because unless a person is an emestic person, that he really wants to know the truth in his life, in his tachlis in this world, and who he is, to see himself truly for who he is, so then there's no tikkun amidas at all. There's no beginning. If a person fools himself into thinking that he's really a very patient person and he's just covering it up because he knows he's really a baal kas and he just doesn't want to have to go there to deal with it, so because he's shtared in the midah of emes, so then he'll never come to any tikkun of any midas whatsoever. So the reason why that's the heart of all the midas, and really the heart is the place where all the midas are, without certain clarity in bakashas ha-emes, which is the midah of tiferes, then the midah process, the world tikkun midas, doesn't begin. And that's going to be aleph. And everybody's going to have a different emes, because seeing ourselves in the mirror for who we are is going to present a different reality for each and every person. So if one person cast may be the issue, and that's what we kind of use as an example. For another person, it may be kinna. For another person, it just may be, you know, chitzonius and being drawn to how things look, how he presents himself, how he likes how people should see him or look at him, you know, whatever it is, it's going to begin with emes, and everybody's tikkun amidos is going to be different on a pratius level. But one of the things that we're hopefully beginning to speak about now is this klalius, which has to do with the tikkun adam, the tachlis abriya, this high level of bittul, which is really what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, which is what Shavuos represents, Matan Torah, certain tachlis and ma'aseh bereishis that Hashem wanted from the Bria, from the Adam, Ani Amarti Elohim Atem, Uvnei Elyon Kulchem, that type of an avaida. I think we'll have to hold on till next time, because we had a beautiful discussion about Tikkun Amidas versus Shviras Amidas, which is what, again, going back to what Ben brought up, which is we're talking about Tikkun Amidas, and we're going to be speaking in Mitzvah Hashem about Shviras Amidas, which is kind of the question we began with. When you're caught in that moment, what's your reaction? And we began to speak about that. We talked about the Keli, the expansion of the Keli, how much you can contain. And there's something which is also called Shviras Amidas in the positive, which is going to come out of this Bittel, actually, which we've been talking about. So we'll get there. Just in terms of this point of beginning with Bittel, the Tachlis being Bittel. So we're going to, in Mirtz Hashem, have to understand, and this is just a hakdama to this topic, because it's a very wide topic, a very, very important topic, is that the Bittel, well, the discussion which we had leading up to this discussion, which was identifying the Midah of Bittel as the Sanav of Sinai, of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shavuos, the Midah She'in the Midah, is that it's something which we can be oyved on, but we can also not be oyved on. It's very hard to engage in this type of a bittul, which we're talking about, because if I'm going to talk about Orcha Tzaddik and bittul, we're going to talk about the word anava as it's used in the Sifrei Musar, which is that a person acts humbly, with humility, like, you know, Webster Dictionary understanding of what that word means. So then we could talk about a protocol and how a person will come to be an anav, to have humility, to be humble. There are ways to do that. Every person is shaykh to the midah, hod. We passed already chesed shebehod, hod shebechesed, and hod shebegvura, and hod shebetiferes. You know, we've talked about hod. We haven't come to Sinai yet, but we've talked about hod. There's an avoida which a person can do. We did a sphere on that. But this type of a bittul that is really the tachas, which is what we're striving for, part of the bittul, minei ubei of bittul, is to have the humility and bittul to know that you can't get to bittul. If a person thinks that he can achieve that bittul on his own, then minei ubei is shlugged up, because bittul means you can't. So when it comes to this inyan of bittul, we can perhaps say that we can bring down a ha'aru of bittul, but to come to the destination of bittul thinking that this is something which is within our reach is the opposite of what bittul is. So we can only bring down ha'aras of that. Hence, what we're going to have to examine is how do we therefore achieve that? Sounds like it has a lot to do with tefillah, and it sounds like it's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam to be zayecha to that bittul, and that's part of the bittul, is to know that to get that bittul, you have to be mivata yourself in a very special way. So there is, you can call an amida, and you can perhaps bring down lights of that bittul to where you are, or you can work on the amida of hod, which is bittul as amida, But to say, to know that there's a type of a bittul which is a midah shein a midah, the chilek shein a midah of that bittul is already telling us that this, it's something which is beyond our control. It has a lot to do with siyata d'shmaya. It has more to do in the realm of shviras amidas and has to do with tikkun amidas. So with that being said, we have a wonderful Shabbos, and we're on the journey. We should be able to get there. Shabbos, Shabbos.